If it's conceivably possible, the New England Patriots made an effort on Wednesday evening, confirming it Thursday morning, the morning of their second pretend season game of the 2024 preseason, to make themselves a worse football team. Yes, you may be saying, oh, come on now. Aren't we piling upon this team too much? They haven't even played a real game yet. Let Gerard Mayo cook. Oh, no. We'll see what the long-term dividends and fruits of this particular transaction happen to be. But the dude with the red sleeves and the biggest hassle of the 2024 preseason, largely one of the biggest talking points, is over. For Matthew Judon, the dude with the red sleeves, the Judon era is over in New England. He was officially traded to the Atlanta Falcons for a third-round draft pick in the 2025 draft. And while you may think, hey, that's pretty decent equity for a guy who's going to be 32 years old coming off of a torn bicep, he is a high energy guy. He's a fan favorite. When healthy, a playmaker. He'll probably get his new contract and he'll get a much better chance at making the playoffs this season than he would in New England. This is a quick emergency reaction podcast, six ring style, to the Matthew Judon trade with your old pals, Nick Fitzy Stevens. And of course, he over there, he's not for everyone. That is Andy Jumbo Hart. All right, Andy, you have been the one that has said that the 0-7, we call it the Hart-O-meter, where on every Six Rings postgame show, every Six Rings podcast, whether we're on the radio together, whatever, we like to say on the Hart-O-meter, we can go with every single move, every single practice, been a lot of them. You guys did a great job covering them recently. Best practices. The Patriots could be closer to your high-end win prediction total of 6 wins or potentially closer to 0 wins, which you have said now for weeks could be on the table. So, Andy, I ask you this. With the trading of their best player to the other conference, do you believe the Patriots are now closer to 6 wins or I can't even or 0 wins?
Oh, it's zero, and you know it. But the beauty is they just get closer to double-digit wins in 2026. Now, I love this trade. To me, there's okay, no downside to this trade. I could not be happier, and most people will be like, oh, okay. Typical Hart, he's a contrarian. Or no, I don't think there's a single downside to this trade because I believed with Matthew Judon they were a – 3-win team at best, 5-win, whatever. You were picking in the top 5. ESPN projected the Patriots to have the number 1 pick with Matthew Judon on the roster. So what you did was solidify your chances to get the number 1 overall pick. Yes, you're going to lose football games. Yes, he was your best player. Yes, he looked pretty damn good in joint practice action against the Eagles, something that not too many Patriots can say other than the front 7 of which he was a key part. But you added a third-round pick for a disgruntled 32-year-old pass rusher coming off an injury who wants more money. Now, we should note, according to Jonathan Jones, not the Patriots cornerback who hasn't practiced in a while and has me concerned, Jonathan Jones from CBS.
Oh, says, that one. Thank
yeah.
You.
Says Matthew Judon is going to Atlanta with no promises for a new contract. No deal is in place. I don't really care about that. All I care about is you didn't waste money, which I do think it would have been a waste of money. Like, to what? Give him a $15 million bump? I might have done it. I might have considered it because you do have so much money. But now you not only don't waste that money on a guy who's not part of the long-term plan, you actually subtract just under $7 million from your salary cap. You can roll all this money over into next year. You're going to have as much money as anybody. You're going to have a third-round pick, thanks to the Falcons, which is better than any compensatory pick. I always do that comp when you trade a player late in his contract. If he leaves in free agency, you get a pick after the third round. This will be a pick in the third round, so it's better, even if they're good, even if the Falcons go to the playoffs. Still better. Still better by at least 10 picks. And you took a step closer to the number one overall pick, which I believe you will then trade to a team looking for a quarterback. So you now have a top 5 pick, 2 extra first-round picks, an extra third-round pick, $150 million to spend. Andy is right. Don't feel bad about agreeing with me.
As we're coming to you, I'm sorry. I just wanted to set the table. We're also recording this live right now on Thursday morning, the morning of pretend season game number two after a couple of rough joint practices with the Philadelphia Eagles. Tonight, the big takeaway likely will be how Drake May plays and how much time he gets. We will be live tonight from 10 p.m. to midnight on WEEI to cover all aspects of the game tonight, as well as probably take more live calls about the Judon sitch and what it means for the 2024 season. We just wanted to get a couple of early thoughts out there, get into y'all's biz, and set the table for what's a very busy day in the preseason for the New England Patriots as well. Yeah, Jeff Stenberg, one of our favorites, watching live on YouTube. Win-win for everyone. I can't believe I'm agreeing with Angry Andy. I feel dirty. Don't. Actually, you know what?
You're clean.
No. You can feel dirty, but you can embrace it. We're all going to be in the mud, the muck, the mire, the crap, the shit. This is where it's going to be.
Clean it up.
Nah, no.
We're going live and it's early morning. We don't do that. Clean it up.
Clean it up tonight on FM. This is my chance to get it out a little bit. To purge. Just that's what we're here for. If nothing else, purge, people. So, Andy, if you look, I agree with you. This is a great return for somebody who could still be, you know, an impactful, if not near Pro Bowl level player for a year or two, right? That's great. Maybe this is where he goes to get that contract. Maybe he gets it somewhere else. A third round pick for a team that is still in a deficit of talent. I'd be like, well, why would you just trade away your best player? If you wanted talent, you had talent right there. I don't think a guy like Matthew Judon was going to be a long-term answer. So what if he contributes for one or two more years to the Patriots?
He hurt you. He actually hurts you if he contributes because he hurt your draft pick. Just like Chad Ryland making that kick in, was it Denver last year? Mm-hmm. Okay. That hurt your draft status. Just like Matthew Judon would hurt your draft status. Now, there's no doubt you don't have as much talent on your 53-man roster. There's no doubt that whether it's Joe Burrow or Brock Purdy or Tua Tagovailoa, they feel more comfortable right now. You've removed your best pass rusher because no, Keon White is nothing like Matthew Judon. They're not even really the same position, which is sort of annoyed me. People like
Andy, from as watching and listening to the Six Rings recaps with you and Freeze Pops, the podcast, and checking out Patriots Unfiltered from afar to make sure I could stay abreast and in tune. Informed and in tune. I knew I couldn't even tell me to clean it up at 9:10 in the morning with everything that was going on. The words I kept hearing Perillo and Mike Dussault using were stiff and too upright for Keon White in his, like, he doesn't look fluid enough yet as a pass rusher. And he's a bit better of a run stuffer. He wasn't even a great pass rusher at Georgia Tech.
He's not going to be. He is a tweener to the inside, which means he's a D-end edge guy who could also bump inside to tackle in situations like that. He's closer to Dietrich Wise than he is Matthew Judon. If you're looking for some Matthew Judon replication, and that's not fair because the guy was a proven Pro Bowler for two organizations. Those kind of guys, like 10, 12, 15 sack guys, no matter where they play, they don't just fall off trucks. They're a valuable commodity in the National Football League. So I'm not telling you he's not a good player. I'm not telling you he looked like he lost it. Because quite honestly, when he was dressed and on the field and had a helmet on, he looked pretty good. That's just the reality of it.
An argument could be made that because he took a little mileage off, that didn't put mileage on the tires last season as he recouped from the bicep injury, maybe he'll have fresher legs. Maybe one of the issues that he faced over those three seasons in New England, or at least the 2021 and 22 seasons, was he would go so full bore, so high motor all the time, by game 13, 14, or 15, he was gassed.
Well, maybe that's it. I don't know. He's undersized. Maybe it wears on him. I would also say he's not an elite player. He's a good player. He's never been elite. I said that all along. He never owned a game the way I've seen Von Miller, Jason Taylor, Khalil Mack, TJ Watt, any of those guys do.
Do we mistake very good for elite because we lack true elite players right now in New England?
There's probably some truth to that. Or it's just hard to be elite. Those guys are even fewer and more far between than double-digit sack guys. But just to get back to the what do you do now? Yeah.
Yep.
And much like all those water-carrying reporters said post-Brandon Ayuk stuff,
the Patriots have decided they just want to let their young receivers grow and be the core of, like, okay, that's fine.
You can say that now about Josh Uche, Anfernee Jennings, Keon White, whoever the group of edge guys are that you're now going to expect to step up. Now, to me, it's Josh Uche because Josh Uche playing with Matthew Judon was a double-digit sack guy at the end of 2 years ago. Now, You need to prove that you can just be the guy, because Judon has always told us that the best pure pass rusher on the team was Josh Uche. Now he's undersized, and I don't think he's as good. He's never really turned it into production. He's got, remember that Mark Anderson year where he had like double digit sacks, and you're like, oh yeah, he was kind of just picking up other people's sloppy.
You know what he, you know what he was doing? It was 2011. Then he got paid by Buffalo, and they regretted that contract. Yep. Every day thereafter, he was benefiting from Andre Carter taking Absolutely. Care of business, and he cleaned up the mess.
Absolutely. And it's happened many times. Tully Bantakane did it, and he went to San Francisco on a pretty nice contract. Like, these pass rushers get money. Now, Josh Uche didn't. Remember, he chose to return mm-hmm. here for much less money than he could have. And if you buy that, I also have some real estate on Nantucket I'd like to sell you. It actually belongs to Bill Belichick, but he said I could sell it for him. Josh Uche needs to step up. But the reality is, and you can get pissy about it, you people. They're not really trying to win. I mean, they've told it to us. Gerard Mayo said to start camp, how's this season, how is success measured? Laying a foundation for the future, figuring out who's here moving forward. They're going to win games, but not necessarily this year. He has been quite open and honest with kind of the big picture plan mm-hmm. that they're embarking on. And for the big picture plan, this was a great trade. And I say great because I didn't think they could get a third round pick for a 32-year-old pass rusher coming off an injury who wants money. Like, that's a good trade.
Don Slane watching on YouTube. This move confirms 2024 is a full scratch season, and we're looking toward 25 and 26.
Absolutely. But not a full scratch, because we all said it. There's one goal at the end of this year, and we're going to see it start. Not start as like in starter necessarily, but you really begin the process of this season Thursday night, Gillette Stadium, 7 p.m. against the Eagles, when Drake May gets extended playing time. This season mm-hmm. is about number 10. Just like 4 years ago, it was about number 10. And we got a false sense of belief that number 10 was really, really good. He wasn't. We need the new number 10 to be better. That's what this season's about.
Yeah, so what it all really boils down to is that we haven't got it all figured out just yet. But I do have one hand in my pocket and the other one. Okay, more to the point. Sorry, Alanis Morissette.
Alanis Morissette? How old and white are you?
How much time do you have? Very, actually, as I just proved. Isn't it ironic?
Not doing that.
Yep, here's just old Fitzy and his jagged little pill, Andy Hart. Stop so
we're losing listeners as we speak.
So, come on. This is what we're going to need to do this season. We're going to have fun with this, because the old tankola is in effect. So basically, like, the fans lose. The dude with the red sleeves, Mr. High Energy, throwing the football at the practice. The guy that's always trying to get people pumped up at the stadium. So they lose that. They lose one of their favorite guys to watch on the field and boast about that. You know, hey, at least we got Judon. Well, now you don't. Now you just got a team full of people that are in need of proving themselves, are in need of developing, and in need of finding a job as well.
They also lost the circus. The circus left town.
But I was going to say, they lost the circus. But the plus is, in addition to a third-round draft pick and giving guys like Keon White and Josh Uche or Anthony Jennings or anyone else that makes the team, they're going to get a chance to prove themselves worthy of a starting job, maybe a second contract, a bigger contract. And there's no more headaches. That's it. No more Ayuk talk. No more Judon talk. This is going to be your football team. The only other headache I can think of going into this would be, hey, why didn't you get a better offensive line? Hey, why didn't you draft or
because you can't fix all the problems and
sign a better tech?
I can answer that very quickly. Because you can't fill all your voids, all your holes. Yes, Golden Bear 82, but it was a bad team before Judon left. It's a badder team now, mm-hmm. but it was a bad team yesterday before this trade was made. Mm-hmm. Like
I would say badder, not worse. I think they're more bad.
Yeah, they're definitely more bad. They're the baddest. They might be the baddest team on the planet, and that's not a good thing.
Oh, yeah, we bad. As in tough? No, we stink.
But I would ask Golden Bear 82, did you come to that realization this morning, yesterday afternoon, when the trade was made? Because the team stinks. They got embarrassed offensively, and what's minus five bad? You can't lose more games than you play, can you?
But it's already – Will Vegas – I'm not even sure what that means, Chris Michaels, but thanks for watching on Facebook Live this morning. Here's a question, Andy. Will Vegas now, with the trading, with what they've seen this preseason and the trading of Matthew Judon, will the Vegas wins total, the over-under for the season, move off of 4.5?
I don't think so. That's a pretty low number to go lower than 4.5. To go to 3.5, because everybody, you people, tell me like, oh, they'll win a few games. They'll stumble into wins, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't believe it, but.
We discussed this briefly before going live momentarily this morning. Tyler Viney watching live on YouTube. Judon just made Atlanta better. They will win their division. You know what? I'm inclined to think that they will as well, Andy. And you believe that this actually gives them a shot at having a pretty nice 2024 season.
Absolutely. It's a bad division. It's part of why I thought all along the Panthers may be worse than you, but will win more games than you, because that division is questionable. That division is up for grabs. And when you have those offensive weapons, I think Bijan Robinson is one of the best all-around players in football. You add Kirk Cousins, you add Matthew Judon, and you know, they can stumble their way into a first year onto Raheem Morris. Like, there may be some ups and downs, but in that division, that's probably good enough to win the division, make the playoffs, and then you'll see. Now, talent-wise, leadership-wise, do I think they're as good as San Francisco or the Eagles? Probably not. No, they're not. I shouldn't say probably. They're not.
No.
But, you know, I think they might be right there with a Packers team with something to prove, a popular Super Bowl type pick, a young team with plenty to prove.
Ooh.
I would put Atlanta in that conversation. If things go right, they could prove themselves a contender in the NFC.
They very well could. I don't know now. I might even be inclined to pick them to win the NFC South now as well. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not in on the Saints in any way, shape, or form. We know the Panthers are in turnaround and rebuild with a rookie head coach themselves. Tampa may have peaked a little bit last year. They did lose some people on defense as well. So see how that one goes. Chris D watching live on YouTube. Welcome to a rebuild you didn't have for 20 years. You guys are the New England Jets. Get ready for lots of tears.
Maybe. I'll let you know when I see a little more of Drake May. It's all about Drake May. You drafted in the top five this year with Bill Belichick running the show. And if Drake May develops, things will turn around quickly because, as somebody noted earlier, the assets, those Danny Ainge-like assets that Elliott Wolf has to work with, and put your towels away. Go cry.
No. I was going to say, I got lots of these playoff towels that I can use to dry my tears for the next couple of years until the Patriots get out of the shitter.
Assets are how you turn things around, and that's what the Patriots are trying to do. They drafted the first key asset in Drake May. I said it on TV last night, brag, when this trade broke.
There we go. Wow. What, you waited all of 18 minutes to get this in?
I mean, you hope you have a franchise quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a top five pick in the draft, which again, I believe you're going to trade for a better, the bag, as Gerard Mayo put it, and you have $150 million to spend. Who's better than you?
Maybe you have a starting plus, I'm not going to say elite or shutdown cornerback. You hope to have two starting receivers. Jalen Polk and Javon Baker did look good this week.
Okay, you're going a little far with
it. All right. Okay, we'll walk it back a little bit because the Eagles are a far superior team.
You have the ability to be headed very much in the right direction within the next 10 months. I mean, I'm not even going, like, before it really bears fruit, it might be a couple years, but by May 1st, I think Patriots fans could be really excited about your football team. The opportunity is there with Drake May, Elliott Wolf, everything, money spent. Because look at it. You take Matt Campbell, the LSU tackle. You take him number three overall after you trade the pick for Shedeur Sanders or whoever wants whatever quarterback is going to go atop the draft. You take Matt Campbell, who's a generational left tackle. People seem to tell me doesn't give up sacks, squats like 8 billion pounds, the whole thing. Oh, and then you sign, I don't know, T. Higgins or whichever wide receiver wants a bag, and you got more than a bag. You got a bunch of bags ready.
You mean we'll finally actually land a receiver that we're interested in? We will not continue to be the gridiron equivalent of the interest kings?
Who's Mike H. and where's he been? I told you this was a zero-win team 2.5 months ago. I told you OTAs this was a zero-win team. I'm going to need you to keep up, Mike H.
He's espousing your takes. Maybe he's riding the jumbo train.
Hopefully it's not Mike H., my brother. I got Mike Hart, my brother. Weird.
Well, but maybe it is, and that maybe he checks in on you every now and again just to make sure you're not going off the rails or everything's okay.
So I'm going to be pissed at all these people that are going to jump on the zero-win train, by the way. Now it's going to be cool to say zero wins. I was saying zero wins before it was cool, so screw y'all.
Yeah. If saying zero wins is on the table, then consider me Miles Davis.
Exactly. I'm pissing down my leg.
And so might the football team, beginning tonight against a team that is far superior than they, but that's okay. Again, this year, embrace the suck. Just hop on the tank enjoy the season for what it is. You hope that you get a couple of receivers. You hope that you find a couple defensive playmakers. And most importantly, you hope you keep your quarterback of the future upright and healthy, giving him enough opportunities to prove that he is your long-term answer. All right, delusional Patriots fans thinks it's 2 to 3 wins. Thomas Holdcroft thinks
Called him delusional? 2 to 3 wins is delusional now?
That's his handle, you jackwagon. Wow, Jorge Landeo, rude. Tankathon 2025. You know what? You know one of my mottos? You like to say, I'm not for everyone. The truth is never mean. Mine, steer into it. This is where you are. Embrace it for what it is. Let's try to make the most of it. Okay, here we go. Dakota from Braintree, maybe update the podcast name to the Zero Wins Podcast. Oh, bitch. He also thought maybe, by the way, shout out to Code and Braintree. Thank you again for the Swing Juice merch, buddy. It was fantastic. He also said they should now trade Bourne to provide more opportunities for all the young wide receivers. See, I disagree with that one because I think Kendrick Bourne could play out this season, and they need a veteran wide receiver in the room to provide some guidance to the Pop Douglases, the Bakers, the Polks, the Booties, etc. Juju getting moved on from was the smartest thing they could have done, and I'm glad they did it sooner rather than later. That was a no-win situation, a zero-sum victory for all parties involved. But I wouldn't trade Bourne, would you?
Well, they would. They were trying to trade him for Ayuk, but that's a different story. No, I wouldn't, because I think he's going to start the year on PUP, so the rookies will have their chances to do whatever they do in September. If they're good, they'll continue to get their chances. If they're not, then you have Bourne to bring some veteran stability to the lineup when he gets healthy. So I also wouldn't make him a captain, which he's been lobbying for. But that's a different thing. Somebody said, you know, Belichick wasn't running the show when they took the quarterback May or whatever, was one of the comments that flew through.
Mm-hmm.
No, Belichick was running the show when every problem on offense was created. The quarterback, the left tackle, the wide receiver, the roots of those issues on the offensive line all fall at the feet of Bill Belichick. He either made the moves that sucked or signed off on the moves that sucked. Cole Strange, N'Keal Harry, Tyquan Thornton,
Sony Michel,
whatever you want to say.
All the way back to Isaiah Wynn.
A little bit far, but I'm talking about Cole Strange is a bust pick. And Belichick made it. Tyquan Thornton's a bust pick, and Belichick, you're still searching for a number one receiver because N'Keal Harry was a bust pick. He hasn't had a right tackle in, 5 years? 8 years? When did Marcus Cannon be done? Like, since Marcus Cannon, you haven't had a right tackle. He didn't have an answer at left tackle. So all the roots of this problem falls at Bill Belichick. He is the reason. And you can't blame Elliot Wolf yet, because don't tell me Drake May's a bust. I'm not here for that talk.
I'm done with that. I have zero interest in you. No. Drake, maybe. Mac Jones 2.0. Shut up. At least Drake May had a smile on his face the other day when somebody took one of those jerseys that had May taped over Jones and had him autograph it.
He's had a smile on his face all summer. He has handled everything very well. He just hasn't been as good as I would like on the football field.
Wow. GM Bill, elephant effed us. Jeez, Jake Fletcher, let us know how you really feel.
What's an elephant F?
It's a big one.
Oh, excuse me. Oh, I saw that once. You know how elephants scratch their chest?
All right, and this has been the Six Rings Reaction. The Six Rings Reaction Pod to the trading of Matthew Judon. The Patriots embracing the tank. They remove the headache. He'll get a contract somewhere else. It's sad to see the Red Sleeves era over. He was a lot of fun. The best player on the field. A fan favorite. That also may speak a lot and or volumes to the idea the Patriots didn't have that much talent. Yes, that's right. As we now just wipe our visor and rid ourselves, sadly, of the headache, and a very good football player who we wish well down in Atlanta. The Patriots are in the tank, steering towards Andy's prediction of 0 wins on the season. How far do you think they'll go? Give us a shout tonight on the Six Rings postgame show, 10 to midnight on WEEI. Of course, we'll have plenty more Six Rings podcasts reacting to practices, big trades, roster moves, postgame analysis, and so much more. All preseason and regular season long. Buckle up, kids. Visit your local Packy now and potentially make some apple picking plans because it's going to be something. But don't worry. If you need to know anything, we got you covered. All right. Thanks for posting this terp for everyone at WEEI Odyssey and 2400 Sports. We appreciate you. Good job by you. He is at Jumbo Heart as always. And I'm your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens. We'll be live again tonight at 10 o'clock till midnight after Patriots Eagles live from Gillette Stadium. This has been the Six Rings Reaction Emergency Podcast to the Matt Judon trade. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We always love hearing from you guys. Oh, one last comment. The issue is the Pats will have the first pick. Then what do you do? Trade it for a shitload more picks.
You trade it for a team with a top five pick and two more first round picks. You draft your tackle, and then you have the assets galore that Elliott Wolf will either turn into the next great run here in New England or will turn into a pink slip because he wastes them and doesn't make the right picks.
Okay. How about Nicholas Colito? He gets a highlight on the way out. Can we make a podcast called I Hate It Here, The Patriots Suck Again? Or That Was Dumb Works Too? Well, you know what we'll do, Andy? Might want to tighten that up a little bit. Maybe what we'll do is we'll get, this is the Six Rings postgame show and the Six Rings of Football Things podcast. Maybe every week we'll have like a subheader or like a subtitle. Ooh. Like, so like, you know, yeah. Tonight can be like, you know, Eagles, fare thee well, Red Sleeves or something like that. And every week, like the story of the week and what's going on in the tankathon, or maybe if there is something positive, two wins, wow, or not two wins, that is the question. Yes, Vinny Sav, it is going to be a long season. But you guys don't have to worry.
Just 17 games.
We got you covered.
I guarantee it will not be longer than 17 games.
It's the one guarantee you can rest comfortably on. All right, great to be back. Look forward to talking to you guys tonight. He's Jumbo. I'm Fitzy. This is Six Rings. Enjoy the preseason game tonight. Tune in to us 10 to midnight. We'll talk to you soon. Good day. God bless. Fare thee well, Red Sleeves. And as always.